our special guest should be on the line. Good morning, Matt Baker.
Hiya, Tim.
How are you?
How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. You've got to love technology. We live in the middle of nowhere, so I don't really get any mobile reception. So I have my handset basically balanced on the top of the curtain pole.
Oh.
So I could receive messages through from Liz there. But I'm on the landline, so all is well.
Oh, Matt, you're there. I can hear your voice.
Hi, Liz.
That's brilliant. Oh, this is great. We get to chat and we can pretend it's work and we get to catch up.
How's the show going so far?
Yeah, really good fun. I like working with Tim nearly as much as I liked working with you.
Oh,
nearly. First one. Good. Anyway, Tim, very nice to talk to you for the first time.
And you too.
How are you finding getting on with Liz then? How long have you been working together on this show?
How long have we been working together? Well, what do you want? How long have we been working together, or how long does it feel like we've been working together?
Well, you tell me. I don't know. Go on.
He knows me well, I'd say now.
How long has it been?
A year?
About a year and a half. It's been over a year and a half. Yeah, year and a half or so. We have a giggle, don't we? We only do this show once, maybe twice a month.
Yeah.
So it's basically just an opportunity for us to catch up.
Yeah.
Liz unloads about her kids and her family life, and I tell boring stories about my life, and the listeners seem to love it. So,
well, it'll keep everyone enthralled, no doubt, with the amount of children that Liz has got these days.
Yes.
Goodness me, the team. It's a lovely team, though. It's a lovely team.
Todd team. Yeah, but let's talk about you. I mean, we've got you on the phone. You're obviously a busy man. What's your plan today? Are you in the one show?
Well, yeah, my dad's down, actually. He's come down for a few days. Every so often, he sort of comes from the hills of Durham and comes into you know, London and see what's happening there. So basically, he's come down.
I love your dad, Matt. I love your dad. Tell him I said hello. I haven't seen him for so long.
Yeah, well, he's off. He's going to go around the British Museum just because I'm doing the one show tonight. So we've got Joan Collins and Pauline Collins on. So after I finish talking to you, I will watch a film that they're in, which is all about a brilliant road trip that they've taken. So we can talk about that on the show tonight, and then go in and just start prepping really for what we're going to do. We've got a lovely little film about a bus stop that was actually vandalised, and the locals took it over, and they made a lovely place for this lovely bus stop. So we're going to do that bit about ticket touts as well. So yeah, just lots of fun and games, really. Alex is off at the moment because she's had her baby, so
yeah. She's
going to be back in about a month's time. So I'm working with Michelle Ackley tonight, who was on Watchdog and what have you. So
you've had different presenters in sort of every day or right. Every week?
Yeah, well, basically what we settled on two, really. Angela Scanlon, who also does Robot Wars, which is on at the moment. So she's sort of doing the Thursday and the Friday and the occasional Wednesday, and then Michelle does the Monday and Tuesday and then the occasional Wednesday. So
if Alex goes off to have another baby, I'll come in and I'll come in and
well,
help you out.
We had Connie in, you know, not so long ago, about a month or so ago, and she came in. So listen, if you fancy it, why not, Liz? Why not?
I might get there one day. I'm still in that sleep deprived. Not sure Telly's ready for this face just yet, but maybe one day. Yeah. So I mean, you're doing Countryfile as well at the same time, obviously.
Yeah, well, it's funny really how my whole schedule works, because so I do Monday to Thursday on the one show, but I'm also prepping what we're going to do on the Friday, which is the reason I'm not on the one show on a Friday, is because that's when I go off and film all of my Countryfile stuff. So basically, throughout the week, I'm prepping for that and voiceovering the programme that's going to go out on the Sunday as well, and also helping out with the edit and the films like that as well. So that's kind of happening while I'm prepping for the one show on a daily basis. But every Thursday night, I head off to wherever the location is. And the deal is, really, I get there for dawn on the Friday and start filming as soon as it gets light. And then I do all of my filming for Countryfile on that Friday. So basically, I make kind of three films on the Friday, which is incredibly busy in the world of telly. It might not sound a lot, but, you know, when you're trying to craft three films.
That's Blue Peter level busy from when we were on. That's mental.
That's
you haven't stopped,
right,
have you, really?
Exactly.
You just don't stop.
So, yeah, so I kind of just crack on, and I do my very best to get home on the Friday night so that I can have the weekend with my children as well, because being a dad and trying to do all of this work at the same time and look after all of our animals is it's a challenge in itself, but do you know what? You just kind of crack on, I suppose.
So have you got like a small holding? Have you got some, what have you got, sheep, dogs?
Yeah, so the way it works basically is I bring our main flock of sheep are up on the farm up in Durham, and what I do is I bring little flocks down down, so it means that I can bring them on down here, work with them on a morning before I go off to work, go off down to the one show and what have you. But yeah, I've got land here and a nice little setup, so I've got sheep and chickens and lots of dogs and, you know, cats, all sorts of bits and pieces here, which is great. And it's lovely for the kids as well, because It means that they get to keep their hand in and you know, grow up in the kind of the same world that I did, which I feel is really, really important. And then we're back to the, you know, the Durham Dales as much as we can, where we've got the sheep farm up there, and then my brother-in-law's got a dairy and arable as well. So it's quite a full existence. I must
say.
Nicola's
you've stayed.
Just come in. She's waving, Nicola.
Ah, hi, Nicola. Oh, lovely! You've got the loveliest wife in telly.
I do. You
do stay close to your roots. I think you've managed to somehow. I don't know how you have managed, but you've kept your. You know, I mean, you obviously do the studio thing is very different to your country file. You know, the one show. They're very different, aren't they?
Yeah.
Do you have a preference? Do you like to be out and about?
Do you know, it's funny, really, Liz, because it sort of harks back to, you know, when we were on Blue Peter and we had that kind of studio vibe, and it was always live and it was buzzing and this, that and the other. And then you'd go and you'd make your films and what have you on Blue Peter, and it would be quite an intimate experience. And really all you're ever trying to do is put people at ease and make them feel comfortable, because the shows that I work on, it's all about really what people are up to in their lives and the way they do it. And I try and give the feel that I'm interrupting other people's lives, and I never want them to feel like, oh, we're on telly and this, that and the other, because you always get the best content when those people are just nice and relaxed and they're chatting away. So I think it's really important to kind of just remember that, you know, people have dedicated their lives to a cause, they're doing something, and really our job is just to shine a light on that. And so, and I think it's really important. And to be honest with you, and I know it sounds odd, but as you know, Liz, all this kind of happened to me by accident anyway, and I never really had this dream to be on telly and to do this, and I kind of fell into it. And for me, you know, going back to the farm and being up on the farm in Durham is kind of the best case scenario mixed with the worst case scenario. So for me, it's always there for me, and when this ends, it'll, you know, I'll go back to a life that I can't wait to indulge myself in. And so for me, I'm really, you know, it's win-win for me, and I just kind of try and enjoy every day and hope that the people who are watching the programs that we make, you know, kind of sense that, really. And you know, it's escapism for everybody that's watching, and you just want to give them a bit of a respite from their life too. But you know, for me, it was never about the whole kind of celebrity thing and turning up and going to the opening of an envelope and all this, that and the other, which I never really do. I just, to be honest with you, I go to work and I come home, and as soon as I either leave the TV studio or say goodbye to the film crew, you know, I am just away from that world. And I try, and that's why it helps me to get back up into the hills, because I don't live in town. I live, you know, about an hour and a bit outside of town, which, you know, means that I can get up and get back out onto my land and just enjoy myself.
I always remember that with Blue Peter. You, when I joined, you were so good at putting me at ease and making people feel comfortable, and you're just very funny as well, which always helps.
How did you get into it then, Matt?
I suppose you just try and see the funny side of things, don't you?
How did you get into it? Because Liz says that she fell into TV as well. So this seems to be the way most people do. They just fall into it by accident.
And I often say that for the majority of folk, telly finds you, you don't find it. And for me, it was kind of an odd thing, because my whole background was gymnastics, and anybody who watches the Olympics or has heard any gymnastic commentary will know that you know, for me, that was my life growing up, really. And all I wanted to do was be a gymnast, and I wanted to go and be a physiotherapist afterwards, which is ironically what my wife does now. But what happened was I ended up in a college production of the musical Grease, and to do some backflips and somersaults and kind of body a stunt double for the guy who was playing one of the parts. And what happened was, getting closer and closer to the actual performance, that he got laryngitis and couldn't sing and speak and all this, that and the other, and I ended up taking one of the parts. And it was a freaky thing. It went incredibly well, and all my teachers were saying, look, you've got to stop doing what you're doing, and you've got to focus on drama, and you've got to go down this route. So I kind of did, really. I changed everything kind of overnight and had a go at the drama school lark, and I managed to get in, and I turned up at drama school without any experience of any productions or anything other than this sixth form thing that I'd done at college. And when I was there, Nicola, who we've already spoken about, who was then my girlfriend, She it was her auntie that read in one of these kind of Hello magazines or something like that that Stuart Miles, the Blue Peter presenter, was leaving. And I just, I know it sounds random, but I just rang up the BBC and I just sort of...
Well, the switchboard and said, can I speak to the Blue Peter producer, please?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I did. I got the name at the end of the programme, which was Steve Hocking, and I rang up the BBC, said, can you put through to Steve Hocking, please? And I got through to his secretary, and she said, oh, he's very busy. And I was like, all right, don't worry, I'll ring back in 10 minutes. So I put the phone down, and I just kept ringing her back. And anyway, I eventually got through, and she said, what's all this about then? And I said, oh, well, you know, I'd like to be the next Blue Peter presenter. And, you know, I think I've got what it takes. And she said, well, I'll hold you there because we've already got all the people that we want to, you know, audition for this. And I was like, oh, right, hang on then. So you're not going to give me a chance. And it was like one of these odd conversations. And I said, well, if you were going to give me a chance, what would I have had to have done? And she said, oh, well, you'd have to send your showreel in. And I went, right, what's a showreel? And she was saying, well, it's all the things that you've done in the past. And I was like, right, okay. And I kind of said, look, I said, if I can get my showreel to you by tomorrow, will you have a look at it? And there was like this pause on the end of the phone. And I said, go on, it's the least you can do. And so she agreed. And it was the most hilarious thing. I put the phone down and I shouted to my dad, and to Nicola, who was there at the time, because I was on a break at drama school and we were lambing at the time, and I shouted, right, get the video camera out, we're going to make what they call a showreel. And then we went round the farm, and I mean, it is the most ridiculous thing you've ever seen.
Have you still got it somewhere? Do you look back at it now?
Yeah, well, it's funny because what they do is they use it as an example of a really good showreel.
Oh, wow.
It's so badly put together and it's so obviously not, you know, done by a professional team trying to make me look good. And so all you hear at the beginning of this video is my dad shouting, I'm ready! and then I appear in this tractor and go, hello and welcome to the Durham Dales. And then I jump into the sheep shed and I lift up a little newborn lamb and talk about that. Oh. And then I read a children's story in front of a fire. And then I jumped on my unicycle and rode around the farmyard and did some backflips and somersaults. I mean, it's literally ridiculous.
Wow.
You were made for Blue Peter. I mean, your skills are unbelievable, Matt. You can do a lot of stuff.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I've always kind of occupied myself quite well. I just see things and think, oh, I'd like to have a go at that. And so, you know, just that unicycle thing, basically, all my mates were getting sort of BMXs at school, and I thought, wow, wouldn't it be cool to be able to ride around on a one-wheel bike? So I asked for a unicycle for Christmas, and that was it, and then juggling and all that kind of stuff. And I just enjoy the physical challenge of trying to do something, and then you know, and I work relentlessly to be able to do whatever it is. And then when I've done it, I go, right, what else shall I try? But I've kind of carried on with that in my life, and I suppose that's sort of what I did with the whole Blue Peter thing. I thought, is it possible to get that job? And if so, how do you do it? And happened. And then, you know, one thing led to another. They offered me the job, and it was madness. And really, I've never looked back.
No.
It does, though, doesn't it, Liz? It feels like yesterday when all that was happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know where the time's gone.
No,
I really don't.
I know. It's scary. Someone said to me, how long have I known you? And I thought, my goodness, it's like 16 years or something daft.
Yeah.
It's a long time. You know, we were young.
Well,
and
it was 10 years ago when I left.
Yeah. That doesn't seem possible, does it?
How can it be 10 years? I mean, I'm coming up now on the One Show, right? And I've nearly done as much time as I did on Blue Peter
really?
On the One Show.
Is that right? Really?
Yeah.
So talking about... Yeah, go on.
Yeah, I mean, it's coming up to 8 years now on Country File.
Oh, my goodness.
Really?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, and you do, obviously, like you said, you comment on the gymnastics. So when the Olympics, you were going out. Didn't you go to Rio and do all that?
Yeah. I've done 3 Olympics now. So I did Beijing and London and Rio. And that is a world that I just love. I mean, you know, it's one thing when you're coming up with ideas and presenting new topics that are new to you and you're making films about them. But it's quite another when you have the privilege to go and comment on a world that you just love and feel like it made you and put you where you are today. Because I owe gymnastics an enormous amount. And, you know, I think really that's where I learned the recipe for success, in the way that you work as hard as you can for something continually, repetitively, and you will get a result. And that's where I learned that. And, you know, just spending hours in the gym of just trying to do a move and trying and trying and trying, and then eventually you succeed. And I think that's the key, really, to everything that I've done. And it's not that I can do everything. It's just I try really hard at trying to do things. Do you know what I mean? And that's really it.
Now,
I once heard this brilliant phrase, and it was all about luck, actually, because somebody said, oh, you know, you're a really lucky guy, you, and this, that, and the other. And I said to her, I said, look, luck is a lifetime of preparation for that moment of opportunity. And you never know when it's going to come. And that's really, and I think that whole video was an example of that. You know, I was just ready for it at that time, and I just put this random collection of things that I could do on a video, and somebody went, yeah, he'll do.
So when you're commentating on the Olympics, do you ever get the urge you want to do it again, or do you think?
Oh yeah, really? Yeah, I do. Well, strangely, the coaches are still there that were my coaches.
Really?
You know, in the British team, they're still there. So I very much do get that access, and it's brilliant that, you know, they know me so well, so we get really good access. And I go down to Lillishaw, which is the National Sports Centre anyway, just to see the guys, and I do occasionally get my shorts on and still do some stuff. And I know about it afterwards, though. That's the thing. About 2 weeks afterwards, I'm really, you know, if it's ripped stomach muscles or this, that, and the other. But every year, I make sure that I have a go at doing a tuck back somersault. So I can still do, you know, stand at, just still do a tuck back. So it's really important that I feel like I have to keep doing that.
And what about crafts? Because obviously dogs are a big part of your life. I mean, do you still commentate on crafts at all?
I don't now. Well, it moved away from the BBC, really. I think Alan Carr's doing it this time with Claire Balding. I think that's only just come out. It's quite funny, that, isn't it? But I used to do that a lot. Yeah, I did. And I thoroughly enjoyed myself there. But yeah, dogs are a very, very big part of my life. And I started training sheepdogs when I was about 13, really, and obviously Meg was with us when she on Blue Peter. She's sadly no longer with us, but we've still got some of her offspring up on the farm.
Have you? Did she? Yeah, she had pups, did she? And
yeah, she did. Yeah, which was lovely. So we kept a few of those. So they're still going, and I've got another border collie down here with me now. He's lovely. He's called Bob, and he's brilliant at working. And then we've got Annie as well, a Labrador, and loads of Cairn Terriers as well. So we've got there's a lot happening, really. When you start listing it, you think,
My goodness, that is insane. And so, Matt, from The One Show, I mean, who have you... You've obviously interviewed hundreds and thousands of people over the years on various shows. Yeah. I mean, what are your standout things that you've enjoyed, do you think? Can you think of anything?
It's funny, really. I mean, talking about A-listers, we had Samuel L. Jackson, Tom Hiddleston and Brie Larson on Wednesday's programme.
Just your usual Wednesday.
King Kong, the new King Kong movie. So we had them on, and, you know, there's all this excitement when you get real A-listers that come on and this, that, and the other. But sometimes something like The One Show, it's quite hard for American A-listers to understand the eclectic mix of craziness that is The One Show. And although it's wonderful to have them there as guests and this, that, and the other, you're often spending a lot of your time during the films kind of explaining to them what's going on. And you get this kind of unprecedented time with them where they're sort of in your hands, and they're a little, because it's live, they're just kind of, you know, I wouldn't say that they're concerned, but they're going, what's happening now, and da-da-da-da. So you're constantly putting them at ease.
Yeah.
So what I really enjoy is the times when we're in the films and we're enjoying, just like the viewers are, the VTs, and you can sit there and you can have a chat with, and then a very nice, relaxed chat that is quite intimate and quite off camera and this, that, and the other, with the likes of Tom Hiddleston and Samuel L. Jackson and Dolly Parton and Lionel Richie. I mean, so many lovely people that you just kind of want to sample their kind of aura when they're, you know, away and they're feeling a little bit vulnerable, and that's kind of the privileged position that you're in, because, you know, they're not sure what topics you want to talk about on The One Show, whether or not it's, you know, rabbits or whatever, you know. So I really do enjoy that. And I think that goes back to what we were saying before, really, about just trying to make sure that everybody's feeling comfortable and willing to talk. I think that's what I like about The One Show, and the fact that it does feel like an extension of the lounge at home, that, you know, people are sitting, and it's a little studio, you know, it's not a big vast studio, and people are often surprised when they come in at how how intimate it is. So, yeah, but I do love that. And and I love that mix of people that are well-known faces mixed in with just the British public, really. And those, the topics that are important to our viewers and how those relate to people that... And you'd never normally hear them talking about those particular topics.
Yeah.
Is the USP, really, of the One Show, I suppose.
And is there anything left that you still want to do that you haven't done? I mean, is there... do you want to go back to acting, or is there anything that
I wouldn't... I mean, we had a great time, didn't we, doing all those Quest things? And, you know, it's hard not to think back to that and think, I'd love to do more of that, because... And that was great. I'm surprised that you haven't done more of that, to be honest.
And comedy. I could see you doing comedy. I know. Maybe we need to write a film and put ourselves in it, or a sitcom or something.
Yeah, yeah. Would you do that, would you?
I don't know. I mean, no. Maybe, if I ever get time, when the children are all at school, who knows?
Well, I know. This is it. It's the thing, isn't it? When you have a family and... You know, all your energies, really, the reason why you do stuff is for them. Yeah. I mean, really, that's my kind of motivation. It's just to try and make sure that they're all right, really, and use the skills that I've got to try and, you know, make the future easier for them, I suppose. Yeah. That's it.
I was going to say, do you think your kids, do they look at you as, obviously, you're their dad, but, I mean, do they get that you're famous, do you think?
Well, it's funny because they've never really not known me to be on telly at bedtime, do you know what I mean? So they always kind of tune in at bedtime and sort of say goodnight, I suppose, which is, that's the awful thing about doing the One Show at the time that it's at, is that I'm not home for then. And but, you know, they've kind of, we get great, we have a lovely morning together, we really do, and the weekends are so precious, but... Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard for them when, you know, we're out and about and people want to come up and have photos and have a chat and this, that and the other, especially if they're, you know, we've gone somewhere for them and we're going to do something for them. But, you know, it's special time and that they... But to be honest with you, when you keep your head down and you just kind of, you know, if you're not looking about and this, that and the other, it's amazing how much you don't get recognised. Mm. You don't want to, how you can avoid it. Yeah. And they understand it, and they're very good with it. And to be honest with you, they've never really known any different.
We're going to have to. We're going to have to wrap up in a minute because we're coming to the news. But I do have a burning question to ask you, Matt.
Go on.
We've had a few of Liz's other co-presenters from the Blue Peter days on the show of the last year or so. So I have to ask the question: do you have any overriding memories, funny stories that you can tell about your time with Liz?
Can you be careful?
Stuff that we could broadcast.
Yeah, preferably.
What about that? I'll tell you what my vivid memory of Liz was, that fringe that you turned up with.
And I'm sure Simon mentioned that as well.
You know that jewel, is that still on your tooth?
Yes!
I cannot believe that you still have that jewel on your tooth.
I can't, actually.
What year did you put that on? You said to me when you came in, you said, this is a temporary little jewel and it will be gone in a month. And it's still on now.
I know, that is weird, isn't it? I did always wear some weird stuff, didn't I? And generally...
Long legs, literally going up to my chin is always what I remember about Liz. Laughing constantly.
Yes.
A bundle of joy. And to be honest with you, you haven't changed a bit, really, have you, Liz, to be honest?
No, not really. No, I mean.
And when we're in the news, Tim, I'll tell you the rest.
Oh, Matt, it's been so lovely to hear you. I mean, you could you tell some brilliant stories. We could talk to you all day. You've been such a great guest. Thank you so, so much. Really appreciate it.
You. It's lovely to talk to you both. It really is.
Sorry,
I'll talk at you, I should say, because I didn't really give you
a chance. That's good. We both said earlier that neither of us have really prepared any questions, so I'm glad that you just talked at us, because it's got us out of a bit of a hole. But anyway, no, it's been great speaking to you. Thanks very much for sparing the time. We'll let you go and watch your video of
Joan Collins.
We will do.
I'll see you soon, hopefully. Right. Love to Nicola and your dad and everyone. Bye-bye, honey.
Bye.
Bye, all.
That's Matt Baker from the telly chatting to us about Countryfile and One Show and Blue. I didn't realise he'd been on the One Show for that long.
No, neither did I.
Because I remember when he took the job, we placed Jason Manford, didn't he? Do you remember Jason Manford used to do the One Show? It was bizarre casting.
That's weird. Time goes quick.
I know. Anyway, you'll be able to listen to that again as a podcast.